Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Did the Bears finally get it right by firing Matt Eberflus in season, the first coach ever to lose his job before the end of the year? Did the clumsy way they let him do a news conference before releasing him matter, or was the timing irrelevant since they made the obvious move?
That's good. I would say that, they got it right by firing him. You had to fire him. I don't know how you could continue after that. It was a fireable offense, the end of the game. It's been a fireable losing streak. It just was going nowhere. You had to react to that. So I had no problem with them doing it. Listen, the clumsy way they did it, it's an embarrassment. I'm sorry. You know, there's just no need for that. But what you do is you're not ready yet. You got to have your three-hour meeting. What you do is you say, hey, suspend everything until later in the day. We're going to postpone everything. We're having some meetings. That's it. Are you embarrassed to tell the guy, hey, coach, we're talking about you. We don't want you to hold a Zoom conference. I mean, if someone said to you, hey, are you going to do your Zoom? What would you say? Oh, yeah, I'll do the Zoom. Let's get it over with on to San Francisco. Of course. That's, let's not take a minute and think about whether I'm a head coach or not. I'll just keep going. And then what are they going to do? They're going to be embarrassed if they then have to call you in and fire you. Well, apparently they know no shame, so they just went ahead and fired. But there's got to be better communication. It was just weird. It doesn't matter because they did the right thing eventually. And I get it. No one really cares. But there's a way of handling your business. And this has been mishandled all along. There's no way around it. Never let him get on that Zoom.
So Bears. Now, we can only hope, because they did something they've never done in the franchise's history, that we've said that 100, so Bears, that's so Bears, that moving forward, that's no longer an excuse or a crutch. But we know a couple of things. We know that Ryan Poles and Kevin Warren, from videos when the Bears have won, it's only been four times this year, when Matt Eberflus is addressing the team, we see Ryan Poles and Kevin Warren nodding their head. Yeah, what he said behind him, right? Here's what should have happened. Because they were in that, I believe they were in that locker room listening to and gathering information on what was being done in the locker room. What should have happened is Ryan Poles should have stepped up to the podium at Ford Field and said, we have relieved Matt Eberflus of his duties. The search for the next head coach, the Chicago Bears, starts now. Kevin Warren should have been standing near there so that we could see that. And that should have been the end of it. And we should have never heard from Matt Eberflus again until maybe Friday or Saturday, when he releases a statement to CBS Sports, which is also kind of bizarre, right? That he went to CBS Sports to release a statement. I guess that was probably orchestrated by the agent. Anyway, I think they were very clumsy. I think it matters, but you're right in the form of the question. They got to the point that we all wanted to, and that was that they had to move on. You could not let him go out there and coach against the 49ers this week.
No.
Yeah, the Bears are very bad at hellos and goodbyes, and they botched this one pretty badly. I don't think they botched it as badly as the hire, so I believe that's the focus. They did do the right thing here. They did do the right and only thing here. This is progress. What they did Friday, regardless of whenever they got around to it, that was the right move. Now, they shouldn't necessarily receive just unconditional credit because of the way that they backed into that on Friday morning. They should have handled it a lot differently. If you're Matt Eberflus, I don't know why you would have faced the media without any clarity. I would have demanded clarity. I don't think they're going to fire him in Detroit, Dustin, but I do think that they could have handled that a lot differently. You come back and you deal with it in a way that doesn't embarrass everybody. Because now everybody's embarrassed, because now you've got to answer questions that are somewhat irrelevant in the big picture. Will somebody not come to Chicago because of the way you handled the news conference? I doubt it, because whoever you hired to come to Chicago is going to believe that they are going to change history. They're going to change the way things are done, that they are a good enough coach, and the power of that personality is going to be strong enough to affect that kind of change. That's who you want to hire. You don't want to hire somebody who's asked questions about, well, you know what, did you think about firing him at 8:30? And if you did, why did you wait until 10:30? No. You want somebody who really is maybe noticed that, but considers that an irrelevant detail to what you have done and what you're going to do. Because they did the right thing. Now they've got to continue down that path and keep making good decisions.
Yeah, I appreciate the question.
Do you like or dislike the Bears making Thomas Brown the interim head coach who also will call plays? Does this make it more or less likely that Brown will be a head coaching candidate with the Bears or another team at the end of this horrible season?
Well, if you're Thomas Brown, you look at it as an opportunity. You've got a five-game audition for the Bears and whatever other NFL team may be looking for a head coach. I don't envision him leaving Chicago and becoming a head coach elsewhere this season, because if he does it well enough to warrant that kind of consideration, they will do it here. And if he does it well enough here over five games, that means his chemistry with Caleb Williams, something that isn't as easy to come by as we have found out, as we thought, but his chemistry with Caleb Williams will be something that makes him successful. I don't think he's going to be successful here in terms of wins and losses, but he can make a positive impact. He can re-energize this team. He can get the interim coach bounce on Sunday in San Francisco, perhaps. So it's an opportunity for him. As far as who else would be available, I don't know that Richard Hightower would be somebody that you say has earned your trust necessarily, and this is a show of no confidence, frankly, if you're going to elevate Thomas Brown and all that comes with that, moving him from the booth to the field, having him call plays in addition to being the head coach, CEO type. He's going to need a lot of help. He's going to maybe have to add somebody, whoever his mentor is, ideally. But this is an opportunity for Thomas Brown, so he's going to look at it. And I think you're going to hear today, he's going to bring excitement. He's going to bring energy, and he's going to bring enthusiasm.
David, he is going to bring all those things, and I think those are reasons why he's been elevated to this point. I also wonder, and DJ Moore might be able to shed some light on this, did Ryan Poles, did Kevin Warren go to the captains and say, okay, guys, we all know you wanted to get rid of this. You know, Mully's rolling his eyes. If you're watching us on Twitch, doesn't like this idea. But, you know, here's the thing. It's the development of Caleb Williams, and he's gotten better each week since this first move was made with the offensive coordinator. I'm not sure if I don't want to see that go backwards now, because I think maybe the fact that he was upstairs calling the plays, getting a different look, all of that helped. If you're the head coach, you can't be upstairs. You just cannot be upstairs. That will not work. But you also can't let this guy get out the door, because if they didn't name him the interim head coach and Caleb continues to get better each week through the next five games or so, and then he goes to Jacksonville, let's say, right? Because he was never given the opportunity. So that's why you have to do this. You have to see what you have, and he's in your building. It's five more weeks. Let's see what he can do.
Yeah, I disagree. I think it's a mistake. I think it's a big mistake to promote him for the reason that you were hinting at, which is all that matters is the quarterback. All that matters is getting him better and coming out of this season feeling like that part of it is a success. I think a lot of people feel that way, even with the losses. And I think that what Thomas Brown has done has helped give this franchise a boost, and it's been good. And why mess with that? Why change that? Because you got a guy that was terrible in front of the room. It obviously blew up on him when he tried to not take accountability in the post game again, when he went in front of the team and tried to give him another, hey, rah-rah, we're all in it together, I'm proud of you. No, coach, no. How did you blank that up? Everybody kind of goes crazy about it. You got screaming players in the locker room. Listen, that guy lost the program. He lost the program, which is why he had to be fired. And then you have a guy that you brought in, and wow, he's got aura. Look at this. Here's a guy that's good in front of the room. Wow, he really keeps it simple, but he makes you believe in what he's doing. Let's make him the front man. You moved him from passing game coordinator to offensive coordinator. Now he's head coach. When are you going to – how much more can you have him do? Should he also do the draft, start giving him some tape work so he can get to that instead of sleeping at night? I want Caleb Williams to do well. I worry that this could impact his development as a player. I just don't know how much more can be on the guy's plate. If you get the opportunity to be a head coach, even an interim head coach, you grab it and you take it and you do your best and you hope for it. I just don't know if that's best for the quarterback, and it gives me pause.
Honestly, I've been fighting myself with this question for a long time.
That is the voice of Jalen Johnson. What do you make of the Athletic's report that Jalen Johnson, quote, went crazy, end quote, on Matt Eberflus after the Lions loss, and that outburst came in the locker room in front of Kevin Warren and Ryan Poles? How much influence do you think the players' comments and behavior had on the decision?
I think it's a tremendous impact. I think that Jalen Johnson is their best player. I just worry about giving too much. That's why my eyes roll, Dustin. I don't know that I want too much power in the hands of the players. I don't know that I want the most popular coach being the head coach. I think it's important to have a separation of church and state in the NFL. And I don't want someone offering a lifesaver to everybody. I like it that you can still chew on someone and you can still let them know if they make a mistake, and nobody is perfect. But I think Matt Eberflus had to go. You know, I think that I was talking to a friend of mine about some of the comments that came out from Richard Hightower, where from 1 week it was, oh, it's all on me, it was my fault, I made a mistake. And then the next week it's, yeah, you know, he was on the wrong, he didn't hit the toggle the right way. When stuff like that happens, that's how you know the coach has lost control. When one of his one of his supporters is complaining about him. That's a terrible look. And when the players give up on the coach and the players are done with the coach, that's when you got to fire him. So I understand that had an impact, but I don't like that. I don't like that it got I don't blame Jalen Johnson that the coach had no discipline, that everybody feels like they've got a say and they got no problem, you know, speaking up in the post game and confronting the guy. I just think it's how you lose. It's just not how you win.
Well, I 100% think that what Jalen Johnson did in the locker room had an impact on the decision made by Ryan Poles and Kevin Warren. I guess what will be more interesting is trying to find out is who did that reaction have a bigger influence on? What was it, Kevin Warren, or was it Ryan Poles? There's also a report floating around out there that Ryan Poles wanted to let Matt Eberflus go after the Patriots game, and the McCaskey said no. So that's interesting, right? I mean, does Ryan Poles want to be around here beyond this? Would anybody want Ryan? Would anybody want to try to puck Ryan Poles away from the Bears?
Why?
He's made some good trades. He's made some bad trades. Every
he's
general manager, David.
Anywhere.
If we took every general manager in the NFL,
he's lucky to have this job. If we took every general manager's what record of
every general manager has flaws on their resume, every one of them.
Right. Oh, I'm not convinced Ryan Poles is coming back yet. I mean, let's talk in 5 weeks, because if you go into any offseason with an 11-game losing streak, and you're the general manager of that team and that roster, then let's talk about that. Let's keep that door open. Jalen Johnson's outburst was understandable given the circumstances, and certainly it spoke to how these players feel so empowered with a weak head coach. I don't know if this happens with a stronger head coach, but I don't know if you're in this situation, so maybe it's a moot point. But I give him credit for making an impact with his words and his emotions, but I don't know that he's making policy here. I don't think that the Bears are keeping their coach if Jalen Johnson didn't stand up and speak out after the game. They were going to fire him anyway. They were going to fire him. He was so fired when he let 32 seconds pass without calling a timeout for reasons only he understands and never explained. So this is a very interesting tidbit. It's a very interesting anecdote and good reporting. It certainly reflects a team that was mutinous at times. We know from the very beginning of the season, they wanted Shane Waldron to coach them harder. They wanted Matt Eberflus maybe to make smarter decisions. DJ Moore has not been shy in sounding as upset as everybody else in that locker room felt. But this, to me, is another symptom of the problem more than is evidence of a solution. When you have players that feel that empowered to challenge their head coach after a big loss, you've got a team in disarray.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Yeah, I'm not talking necessarily about a pick six or something like that.
Voice of Brad Biggs is with Mully and Haw at 7 a.m. Ian Rappaport said Ryan Poles, quote, will help Kevin Warren, quote, run the search.
Ryan Poles expected to stay as GM and help Kevin Warren run the search for what should be a really coveted opening.
And in the statement firing Matt Eberflus, Warren supported Poles, quote, on the decision that was made, end quote, not the decision he made. And these just sentiments or subtle reminders that Warren will be essentially running this search and behind all of this.
I don't think it's just semantics. I think it's actually somewhat intentional. I would be surprised if Kevin Warren wasn't out in front of this. That's why he's here. I think that he trusts Ryan Poles in ways that he has described. He wants to be the mentor, but I don't know. I know that this is a debatable among Bears fans and Bears media, but I don't have as much confidence in Ryan Poles' ability to make good decisions as a lot of people do right now. And it's hard for me to get past last January and how that went down. And whether it was Jim Harbaugh or Mike Vrabel, Pete Carroll, whoever, I don't know how you came to the conclusion that Matt Eberflus was the guy that you were going to believe in could take you to the place where you wanted to go with a new quarterback. I think that's on his record. And that carries more weight than a good signing or a good draft pick. So Kevin Warren saying this, I don't think it's semantics. I think Ian Rappaport is very careful. He knows how these things work. And when he says that Ryan Poles will help Kevin Warren, I think Kevin Warren's going to be looking at this as, okay, I inherited this head coach. Now I'm going to go get a guy, find a guy that represents the vision that I want. And I do think that a strong leader will be the number one criteria.
I think Kevin Warren has every right to say to Ryan Poles, Ryan, I think it's time that we make a change here. And then he goes to the McCaskies and says, I think it's time that we make a change here. I'll wave my hand. I think I'm not the only one, but I'll say I always was concerned about Kevin Warren and football decisions. I might be a little concerned about Kevin Warren and business decisions, but that's not what we're talking about right now. I don't want Kevin Warren to be in charge of the search. Of course, Kevin Warren should be in the room and listen and weigh in and maybe ask a question or two while Ryan Poles is doing the interviewing, as George McCaskey should be in that room as well. But at the end of the day, it should be Ryan Poles. And I hope there's not a search firm hired by the Bears to help Ryan Poles. If Ryan Poles needs a search firm, then Ryan Poles shouldn't be the general manager of the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, I think that's all good topic of conversation. I think we can discuss all this stuff. Listen, they need somebody in charge. They need somebody that's not going to listen to their agent or going to lean on people that have other responsibilities than what's best for the Bears. And I think they bungled up the hiring of Matt Eberflus. I think they got the wrong guy. I'm not upset that he's gone. I'm not even upset that they should have done it earlier, didn't do it fast enough, let Jim Harbaugh go, whatever. I mean, the reality is that, you know, you let the guy hire an offensive coordinator, and then you let the guy blame the offensive coordinator, and then you let him hire another one, and then you let him put that guy out. I mean, it's clearly they got some issues. So hopefully Kevin Warren knows enough about the game, knows enough people in the game. I mean, I think there's nothing wrong with getting a headhunter. You don't, you just Google it, and here are the candidates. Don't try to, you know, rediscover America. Don't try to do something no one's done before. Don't try to split the atom. Just hire a football coach who's competent and has done it before and will come in and bring you need discipline on this bloody football team. You need people not to be making stupid penalties more than once in a game, okay? You need to
somebody's done it before.
Someone who has done it before and knows what they're doing.
Without apology.
That's it.
Or explanation.
That's all you've got to get.
You know it when you see it.
You know what a football coach is. There's tons of them out there.
Jeez, I know.
Good God, how do you foul this up?
How'd you bring him back?
I don't know. That's a tricky question.
That's DJ Moore. He's with us at 8. Where do you believe Kalen Williams sits with his rookie season with the Bears? Is it fair to say he's been impacted by the chaos of the organization from the firing of his first OC, now the firing of his head coach? How many more blunders do you anticipate him enduring with this organization? Wow. Does your trust in the Bears to do the right thing in the development of a young player at the most important position on the field?
This is a really serious question, and it's the only one that matters. Let's be honest about it. Everything they do with this guy is the most important thing they're doing. And everything they've done with him thus far has been an abject failure. You don't go around firing people. You know, you don't want a young quarterback getting the reputation. He's working with that guy. What happened to him? Oh, how did that? This isn't his fault at all. He's been getting better, and he's working his rear end off. I thought it was so sad that he had to go up there and say, well, maybe later in my career, I'll understand things better than I do right now. But, I mean, to suggest that he's at fault, a rookie quarterback, give him some help.
Yes, give him some help. I think this will always be, if they don't get this right, Caleb will just be on countdown to get the heck out of here, right? He'll just be on the countdown to get the heck out of here if they don't get this next head coach right. And I think part of the reason, whether we think it's a good idea or not, and I see both sides of it, I think a big part of the reason that Thomas Brown is getting this shot is that Caleb Williams wants him to get this shot.
Yeah, I think Caleb Williams is, as we have said before, kind of the de facto CEO of this organization. So it would be naive to think he won't be involved in the coaching search. I think you almost have to allow him some input without having necessarily him final say. I'm not saying you cede over power to him as having a voice that is the loudest in the room, but you do have to make him feel like he is part of it. I do think it's got to be collaborative with him. And if that means with his father, this is the world we live in right now. And I think that he came to Chicago with this kind of reputation. And the first year of his NFL career, it's proven a lot of the things that maybe he was concerned about. This is unstable as a franchise.
He's on his second offensive coordinator and his second head coach.
So it's less than ideal. But I think that speaks to just how good of a talent and quarterback he is and is going to be. So if you believe in him, you do everything to make him better. You do everything that respects his power. And if that ruffles some feathers in your locker room, so be it. This is the guy that is going to be at the front of your mind with every decision that you make moving forward. And through 12 games, he has earned that right, in my view.
The last question will be
Stacy Dale. She'll join you guys at 9:25. She was at the game on Thursday up in Detroit. What was the biggest development in college football over the weekend? What was the most entertaining game? Are they one and the same?
I don't think so. I think the most entertaining game, I could not stop watching Georgia Tech 8 overtimes.
What?
Oh my gosh. Became a 2-point conversion contest. Georgia pulling it out. Unbelievable ending to that one. And that could have the biggest impact on the college football playoff, the fact that they were able to survive. Ohio State, Michigan, could not believe that. Is Ryan Day still employed? What time is it? And Notre Dame, 2 pick sixes going out to USC, ruining the Caleb Williams retirement jersey ceremony and stamping themselves as legit national title contenders. Got to say, I don't know how else you look at it. They've won 10 in a row. They're for real, right?
I mean, I love Notre Dame, and I love that they won that game, and they are not a legit contender for the championship. They're just not, unless they get some crazy draw. But that's the quarterback. The quarterback's
Ohio
not good
State.
Enough. The quarterback's not good enough.
That's what I mean.
That's what I'm
if
saying.
If they're number two in the country, is Notre Dame legit?
Ohio State is playing at Notre Dame.
Yeah, I'll take the Irish.
Notre Dame.
Brian, not your day.
Yeah, okay. I'm not arguing that.
Well,
but the biggest development, in all seriousness, and I'll raise my hand as being guilty of this, this season overall has not done a whole lot for me because I can't still get my mind around Oregon is playing in the Big Ten championship game, that the Big 12 is Arizona State, that the these conference realignments, all the money that's involved now, it just feels like another pro sport. And I felt like the rivalries, which I love, and I love these trophy games and these rivalry games, it mattered. The takeaway from the weekend is that the rivalries are still alive and still well. Now, we can talk about sportsmanship and learn how to win and learn how to lose, and I don't like players being pepper sprayed by the security and the police, but the takeaway is that these student athletes, even though, you know, maybe you could say they're just athletes now and they're making millions of dollars, they still care about the helmet. They still care about the logo. That was one of the biggest takeaways for me over the weekend.
That's a good takeaway.
Thank you.
I got to tell you, I mean, the ACC shouldn't even be in this tournament. As same thing with the Big 12. Like, here's the problem that you have. The problem you have is that there are going to be teams that won conferences. They're going to have home games and bye weeks, and they're going to be playing schools that are like significantly better than them. The problem is that if you really wanted to do it right, you wouldn't care about any of the conference stuff, and you would just take the best teams in the country and you would put them in order.
Lane Kiffin said
That's what you need to do.
Makes some sense.
That's what you need to do. You don't. I mean, you're going to be rewarding a team because they backed into a conference title because everyone else started falling.
These aren't
apart.
The 12 best teams.
No, that's my problem. Yeah. And that's why. How do you expand the thing to 12? And you're not really on a balanced playing field because there are better teams playing that won't have bye weeks and home game. It's just weird. We'll see how it ends up. But yeah, I mean, there is a lot to dislike about everything that's gone down. And you know, I appreciate Notre Dame winning that game, and they scored a lot of points. They gave up more points than I thought they would.
They did. Yeah.
And that wasn't.
That defense wasn't like they usually are.
And that worries me a little bit because they've lost the corner. Yeah.
And they had two pick sixes.
I know.
That's awesome.
But I still think that, you know, you're right, Dustin. They're, you know, Michigan made their season by winning at the Big House. And I cannot believe Ryan Day couldn't get his team up enough to win after everything that happened the week before. They must have felt like they were world beaters and it didn't matter, but that was one of the worst coached, played games of football I've ever seen, missing field goals. And
terrible.
And just, it was just awful.
What a shame.
And to lose that game was awful if you actually like Ohio State.
What a shame.
Yeah, I know you don't care. But
go Blue.
The idea that Penn State is now playing in the...
That guy. Oh, we don't have enough time to get that guy. Yeah. James Franklin.
Oh, don't even start. All right, we've got the extra point next. We got to get to it. It's Molly and Haw on the Score.